This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Poetry slams are competitive events, and up to now, the competitions have been dominated by men. But the number of women who slam is slowly growing. Star is a poet from Charlotte, North Carolina. Next year, she's going to represent the Bull City Slam team in the 2013 Women of the World Poetry Slam. And Star joins us today on The State of Things. Welcome, Star. Good to have you here.
Hi, nice to have
you. It's nice to have you on the show and be with me, too. What a pleasure. Let me ask you about poetry growing up, listening to it. Poetic household?
Very poetic household. My mom actually did forensics and public speaking in high school and college, and big Paul Laurence Dunbar fan. She was very, very instrumental in our community with putting together like Black History Month programs. So me and my brothers grew up in a household where performing was a really, really big deal, and we were always like, you know, encouraged to join in.
When did you get involved in slam poetry?
I got involved in slam poetry when I was about 21 years old. I graduated high school and didn't really know what I could do with art afterwards. And then slam poetry just kind of filled that void for me.
Describe slam poetry events. They're different than just poetry reading, not the same thing.
Oh, they're definitely different than poetry readings. Well, in a slam, right, you can have up to 12 poets slamming, right, competing against each other. And what happens is that five random judges are chosen from the audience, and they are given the, I guess, responsibility of judging you from 1 to 10, Olympic style. And so the highest score and the lowest score both drop, and mm-hmm. So the three middle scores are what's kept. So the highest that you can get on any individual poem is a 30.
And you're being judged on what? What are the categories? What are the judges looking for?
Well, because most of the judges aren't like professional judges, right, that, you know, went and got a degree on judging poetry or anything.
Right.
Really, they're judging you on how much you entertain them, how much you move them, you know, personally. And so sometimes you'll have the East German judge who will give you a 3. And then sometimes you'll have the judge that loves everything that they hear, this poetry, and everything is 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah. So what about this idea? I mean, I don't think of poetry and competition sort of in the same sentence. I don't see them there. And yet here it is.
You know, it's a love-hate relationship. You know, as a poet, you know, when I write a poem, I'm trying to express something that's inside of me. You know, so when you go on stage and you say, okay, I'm going to express who I am and you can judge it, and they judge you badly, you know, it starts making you question, well, am I good enough? Is mm-hmm. the poem good enough? Is my thoughts, you know, valid? And so it does become this love-hate relationship, and you have to find a balance between slam, which is the competition, and poetry, which is the actual art.
And yet, is it important to you, would it be important to you to win some form of approval? That is to say, your poem did touch somebody. It affected somebody. And so in that sense, you're kind of competing for someone's attention, right?
Well, yeah, true. You know, of course. I mean, who doesn't want to be a superstar?
Right.
You know? But at the end of the day, though, if there's 100 people in a room, right, and you did this one poem and it touched just one person out of those 100 people, then it was a good night, you know? But that one person that it touched may not come up to you and say, oh, my God, this was just a great poem. So you kind of have to go home with the feeling that I did my best. You know what I'm saying? I had a message and I expressed it the best that I could.
Is there anything about the competition that makes you a better poet?
Learning how to lose gracefully.
No, I see.
You know, not everyone can win all the time, but I think that one of the things that marks a person who's truly an artist from a person who's just a competitor is saying that even though I didn't win, I still contributed to the art.
Do you think more about, do you wonder what it was if you didn't do well? Was it the way the words came together? Was it the poem? Was it the performance?
Well, you know, the more you do the slam thing, you see that there's a lot of different variables that can go into a high or low score. You know, it could be as simple as where you were in the competition. You know, if there's 12 poets and you're the first poet that goes up, they're going to score you lower because they want to see what the other 11 have to say. So, you know, there's a lot of variables.
Would you do a poem for us now?
I will. I actually have a poem that I just wrote called Dime Piece. Can I do that one?
Love to hear it.
Okay. Because my mama told me so. Because my mama told me so. Because when it's all about the prize between her thighs, a dime 9 times out of 10 short changes herself, rearranges herself, forgets when mama told her she was worth her weight in gold, and the boys on the block might not tell her about that, might forget to let her know, Might remember her number but forget to call, forget her name and just charge that to the game, so nothing gold can stay. And now she spends all her change on weave and war paint, still trying to paint fall to look like spring, bronze this Georgia peach, dip it in diamonds and platinum, call it fashion distraction, cause not everything that glitters is gold, but still the dude in the Benz might not tell her about that. Might put a price tag on it and call her a gold digger. Might call her bitch till she forgets her name, forgets her worth. Forgets when mama told her she was worth her weight in gold, so a dime 9 times out of 10 shortchanges herself, rearranges herself. Always on this gotta get some cash, get some change for herself, taking it all out of sorts. So now she just a nickel and a couple browns and 3 cents short. And you know it's always in their mouth to say about that. Talk about how bad she looks and forget about how much they took. But still the dude on the take might not tell her about that. Might just be about his too. Might eat up all her food and call her a fool, take a penny for the road and call her a hoe, so she's another brown down and still has to keep her bills in line, so at the first of the month she's just a 5 cent dime, still calling Christmas July, lost track of all the time spent getting what she could get and forgetting what she was worth, paying the difference herself, so she never had a chance but to come up short when every day where she be it's hey, pretty girl, pretty girl. They always in her ear. Hey, pretty girl, you got any change to spare? You show is a dime. You show is beautiful. You show is beautiful. So these days I teach my little girl to say, thank you, and I know my mama told me so. Told me every day that I was worth my weight in gold. Taught me mathematics, I can add it and subtract it. So I'm a dime that dares to dream and multiplies of 10. Call me a queen, I said, cause I'm a silver dollar. And nah, I ain't got no change to spare. I said, I'm a silver dollar and I can't make no change. I can't rearrange because my mama told me so. Because my mama told me so.
Star, slam poet, on her way to the World of Women Poetry Slam in Minnesota in March, and right now here on The State of Things. What's a dime? What is that?
Okay, well, a dime is like a slang term for a beautiful girl. So a dime would be like a perfect 10, so she's just perfection.
I got it. So. But it is this, it's a kind of a rating, and it does then reduce this woman to her looks.
Right.
So her 10 is only based on her looks. The rest of her, not even on my chart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that brings up the whole issue of men in slam poetry. It really is a male-dominated field, isn't it?
Totally male-dominated. Like, I'm from Charlotte, and, like, our slam team last year, Slam Charlotte, was 100% male, five right. males. You know, there was no female in it at all. I think that has a lot to do with just kind of the way these gender roles are in our society. You know, little boys, you know, they talk trash from an early age. You know, my daddy can beat up your daddy, my brother can beat up your brother, so on and so on. They can be rowdy and loud, and we say they're just being boys. You know, so they learn to be opinionated, and that having the opinion and having the ability to communicate that opinion is part of what makes them masculine. With women, on the other hand, you hear things such as polite young lady is supposed to be seen and not heard. And, you know, you think that in 2012, this idea is antiquated. You know, it should be obsolete by now. But it's not. You know what I'm saying? It just happens to manifest itself in different ways. You know, it is still okay for boys to be loud and rambunctious and macho, and women are still expected to be very polite, very quiet, and very courteous.
And there's a lot of posture that you have to adopt on the stage as well, and some of it could look aggressive. Do you feel the need to compete with men on in style, or can you come up with an alternate style? Are you free enough to do that, or do you want to?
Well, as a woman, I just can't be a man, you know, I just can't be one. So what I try to do is I try to take my femininity and make it as dynamic as possible on stage and just hope that it, you know, it waits enough.
Yeah. To show it in all of its facets so that we can allow women to be worth more than a dime and to show that I can be loud and feminine and all of that is not mutually exclusive. And it's a wonderful idea. Do you actually receive or feel sort of active discrimination? Do people say, that's not very feminine? Don't be acting like that.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I've had people tell me I was mannish before.
Wow.
You know, and mannish just can be because I said no, you know, because I had an opinion about something. And, you know, you take it with a grain of salt and you keep it moving, you know, because at the end of the day, whether it's male, female, there's still a difference between wrong and right. You know, and whether you're male or female, you have to make that decision. You have to be able to say that this is wrong for me or this is right for me. And I'm not afraid to say that.
This is Women of the World competition that you're going to. I mean, does poetry have to be? I mean, I think of, you know, sort of men's and women's in, like, say, tennis, for instance. Mm-hmm. But does it have to be? Do we have to have separate categories, gender categories in slam poetry?
I don't think so much that we have to. But I think that if you look at the community, the poetry community, that because it is so male dominated, that female voice gets lost in the mix. You know, you have all this baritone, right? Sometimes it's hard to hear the treble. And so when you take the baritone completely out of the picture, right, and you just concentrate on women, what you see is you see women from all these different facets, all these different avenues, and it becomes this beautiful conglomerate of different things, you know, and I think that that gets lost when we're in mixed company.
I can. Would you do another one for us?
Sure. Sure. Sweet. Sweet. Like children coming home to dinner, they line up like orphans on the wall, feeding time. Remnants of concrete wars they were never meant to win, refugees, they are the survivors, the forgotten people. Left like roaches to live in the cracks that we've forgotten about, we don't want to know about, we hear them begging pennies in the street, but we don't want to hear about your problems, we all got problems, you're lazy, you're a bum, get a life, she's 19. Been on the streets since drunk foster father thought slow foster daughter was an easy target. It didn't matter, he said, because she was retarded and the monthly check from the state was like getting paid to invade her body. Sweet, dark skin, sweet, like foster mother used to be before too sick to pay attention. Sweet like the cookies she used to bake her, like the smell of roses at her funeral. Sweet like the taste of blood and semen on her teeth the last time he made her. She's running down the hallway. He's screaming, if you ever come back, I'll kill you. Sweet like the smell of cardboard air fresheners. You know, the ones that look like little Christmas trees hanging from rearview mirror 18-wheeler. When she asked him his name, he just smiled and told her John. He just saw her standing there and picked her up off the street. She did it with her thumb. Just like in the movies, he kissed her on her lips, told her she tasted like candy. It was just like in the movies. But in the morning when she woke up, he was driving. She was so confused when they pulled up in a parking lot, when he handed her 20 whole dollars, pointed to a building and said they'll feed you there and they'll find you a bed. Sweet, like the donuts they served at the soup kitchen where she met him. Like he said their friendship would be if she would just let him put it between her teeth. Like chocolate, he said. Sweet. He gave her 5 whole dollars when they were finished being friends. When he was finished pushing his disease down her throat, deep, sweet like the candy she bought. Like licking honey bun icing off your fingertips. All her new friends knew those were her favorite. Sweet like sugar in the sun crusting the boils on her skin or ulcerating. Sweet like decaying teeth because her body is deteriorating. Sweet, she's begging pennies in the streets. Her friends don't want to be her friends no more. They say she's sick, but she doesn't understand what sick means. Just another Jane Doe found on a back alley street, left like a roach to die in the cracks that we've forgotten about. Hells, we don't want to know about. We hear them begging pennies in the street, but we don't want to hear about your problems. We all got problems. My job, my car, my kids, my life. We all got problems, but remember. Remember when life was sweet like the taste of breathing? Do you remember? Because see, we all got problems. But tonight, before you lay you down to sleep, thank God for such small ones.
Star is Durham's representative to next year's Women of the World Poetry Slam in Minnesota. What's the story behind that one?
About me going to Minnesota?
About Sweet.
Sweet. Okay, well, when I first started writing slam poetry again. It was after I had become homeless. I had lost everything, my job, my car, my house. And I was at this space where all the friends I had when I had a lot of money, they're gone, you know, and all the stuff I did when I had a lot of money, couldn't do that anymore. So everything became very silent around me. And it was the first time that I could hear my thoughts again. And I remember one day being at the homeless shelter, and the mayor was coming to speak. And the night before, maybe two nights before, one of the girls that hung out around there had gotten raped, you know, not kind of raped, but like raped to the point where she was in the ER, scars, horrible. And one of the things that she found out in the course of this tragedy was that she caught AIDS from the rape. And her name was Tiana, and she was mentally retarded. And she's, I guess, like a product of the foster care system when the kids age out. And it made me so angry that, you know, a couple of days later, the mayor is here. He's talking about all this great stuff that the city is doing for the homeless. But then, you know, her story doesn't get told. She kind of gets left out and forgotten. So that was my way of kind of remembering her and the truth about what kind of gets swept under the rug sometimes.
You know, I've only got 30 seconds left, but are women bringing other topics, other issues to the slam poetry stage?
Absolutely. You know, there's so many topics that don't get told, don't get talked about. And I think women have this eye and this ear for it and this mouthpiece for it. And I think that's definitely our job.
Congratulations. Good luck in Minnesota. Thanks so much for being on the program, Star.
Thank you for having me.
Star, a poet from Charlotte, North Carolina, going to be representing the Bull City Slam team in the 2013 Women of the World Poetry Slam. Thanks for listening to our program, State of Things. You can go to our website, stateofthings.org, program produced by Alex Granados, who is directing our program, Sean Wen, Nicole Campbell, and Dave DeWitt. Producers, Robin Copley, the technical director, Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.